Good singing this morning. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Nancy, for being here and sharing with us in worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. One verse. One verse. What? Yes. What? I did? I'm still at camp. Wake up, Mike. Okay. I got my teeth tied around my tongue and couldn't see what I was saying, so that's what happened. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Okay. All right. Paul is saying here to Timothy and the church, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience. How many of us can say that this morning? We serve God with a clear conscience. Amen. The way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. Who do you know that is praying for you day and night? Might be a mom or dad. Might be a close friend. It might be a brother or sister. It might be a church leader. But to know that somebody is praying for you day and night, it's worthwhile, isn't it? And I've often heard people say, I can feel those prayers. Many of you who have faced situations or been in the hospital or different circumstances say, I can feel those prayers. Well, you see, I think a lot of people, even Timothy in the church, even when Paul was in prison, felt Paul's prayers. And he prayed for him day and night. So today we celebrate Father's Day. And happy Father's Day, fathers. It's a wonderful day that the Lord has made for us to enjoy. Our wives or our friends to say, Happy Father's Day. Feels good, doesn't it, men? To hear somebody to say that to you. Just like it did when we said Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, it's a good feeling that we know that we're loved and respected and cared for. And I'm reminded of a story I read about a dad who recently understood his role as a father. Some years ago in a military academy, the students, they rebelled because of the hard demands of their environment. The students refused to go along with everything, like their lessons, their study time, the drills that they had to do at that academy. And when the word reached their parents, the students began to receive letters from home, which the commander had in his own possession. So he got to read them first. I mean, that's not fair, is it? Reading somebody else's mail? But this was a strict academy. They wanted to know what was coming in and what was going out. So these messages were like a telegraph through which one could look into the various kinds of boys' homes and their parental relationships connected to them. One father wrote to his son, I expect you to obey. Another said, if you are expelled from school, you needn't to come home. Still another one said, I'll send you to an insane asylum if you are sent home. Pretty crude, isn't it? Another one said, I'll cut you off without a penny if you disgrace the family. But the best message that was expressed in these brief words was, steady, my boy, steady. Love, Dad. Now, there was a man who believed in his son. The others, I don't know. But this one believed in his son. Probably there is no greater influence upon a young man than a father who respects the spirit of his son and treats him like a man. Well, fathers, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about our responsibility as fathers? First of all, the Bible speaks that a father is to provide. The Scriptures tell us of our responsibility as fathers is to provide. And Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5:8, okay, if anyone does not provide for his relatives or family, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an The KJV version says infidel, which means unbeliever. So if a Christian, a godly man that will not provide for his family, his immediate family, he is worse than an unbeliever. Now that's pretty strict words, isn't it? But a father should provide, should want to, love to, motivated to do that. As Paul said, fathers are to provide for their children, to make sure that they have a home, that they have food to eat, clothing to wear. You know, I observed this week, as I stood in the chow line, I always went first, always let we adults always let the children go first, and we eat last. A few times we had to wait a while because they ran out of food. But we stood there patiently waiting to get served. And some of the children say, when do we get to come back for seconds? And they say, we'll let you know. We got to serve everybody first. So see, some of these children were already wanting seconds. It wasn't they wasn't getting a lot the first time through. But some of these kids, it says they don't get a whole lot at home to eat. So they was looking forward to coming back through again. Some of them third time. Some of them, I saw little bowls stacked up that high where they went back for fruit and stuff. Like five little of those bowls stacked up. And some of them would get more milk. Some of them would toss their milk because they didn't want milk. They drank something else. But fathers are to provide for their families, clothing to wear. But the Scripture also teaches that there must be a balance. Sometimes we are so focused on providing that we present an unbalanced picture to our children. And the result is that a lot of materialistic monsters have been created. I'm afraid that there are a lot of kids growing up who don't realize that you have to work, you got to earn, you got to save, and wait before some of the good things in life comes your way to use and to enjoy. And I shudder to think that we're creating people who never appreciate the hard work that has gone before to create a nation that they're inheriting, that we adults are passing along to them as well. And they're not going to be willing to pay the price to keep it right because we're not teaching them the right things. As I search the Scriptures in relation to what I'm talking about here, there has to be a balance. And you see, God always kept a perspective and a balance on the people of Israel, even in the good times and when they were rebelling. God has always provided for his children, and he always will, because he says, if you'll seek me first, if you'll seek my kingdom first and all of my righteousness, everything else is going to be added to you. You believe that? I believe it wholeheartedly. If we'll put him first. For example, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God provided them with manna for just one day at a time. He didn't let it store up and say, okay, here, this is a week's ration or a month or a year. He provided manna for one day at a time. And every morning they would have to go out and collect the manna again. Only on the sixth day did he give them extra so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. That way they could rest and still have enough food. And God didn't put it in their basket for them either, did he? They had to go out and gather it for themselves. They had to work for it. And we must work. Well, it all began in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Man had everything they needed in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve did. We would have had all of that ourselves. But it didn't turn out according to God's plan because man rebelled. So it seems, fathers, that this message we need to hear loud and clear. Provide. But make sure that you do not provide too little or too much. Make sure that your children have all they need, but also make sure that they appreciate those things. And we are willing to go out and work for them, and when they, and their turn comes, they will do the same. We also provide spiritual leadership. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instructions that comes from the Lord." Now that is a good instruction, isn't it? Paul put that there because he saw, as it was inspired to him to write that, in his day, in his era, in his environment, in his culture, of people, dads, treating their children right with godly love. See, this is another of our responsibility to provide discipline and instructions and to make sure that we are spiritual leaders in our homes. So if we're not spiritual leaders in our homes, then we're neglecting a very important responsibility that God has given us. See, God started with Adam, and Adam was to pass that on down. And through generations, man is to be the spiritual leader of the home. And if he neglects that, then the home is not going to be solid and based upon what God had preordained from the very beginning of time when it started with Adam and on down. And we see through the generation there's been a breakdown of that spiritual guidance within the home. Fathers, a lot of time, will provide all the other necessary things like materialistic things and so forth, and that is good, and that is a requirement of a father. But one of the most important things that a father can do is to provide spiritual leadership. And when you see a lot of things on the media today that is happening, and I do believe everybody has a choice whether they're going to do right or do wrong when it comes to stealing or murder or those things, just like in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, we've seen all kind of these tragedies taking place throughout our nation. And you almost want to go back home. What kind of home life do these young people have? What conditions their minds that would cause them to think evil and go in and take people's life? Well, we know who's behind it, don't we? It's Satan. But it goes back to the home. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility, because you're only here for a couple hours a week, right? If you live to be 75 years old, now I want you to mark this down, 75 years old, if you live, and God bless you, Thelma, you pass that, you have a lot of motherly, godly wisdom. And if we live to be 75 years old, you're going to sleep 25 years of that. But you know, you're only in church 13 months of that. If you live to be 75, 13 months. That's nothing, is it? That's just like a flash. So it has to go back to the homes where children are getting godly instructions, and they're not going to get it if the father doesn't take their responsibility as a role model, as a spiritual leader, to make sure that your children gets the godly guidance that it speaks about right here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We're also to provide an environment when children understand authority in the home, therefore appreciate authority in the world as well. If we do not provide that, we'll end up with a lot of rebels. And there's plenty of evidence of that happening already, as I described. Ishmael, for instance, you know what his name means? If you look it up in the Hebrew form, it's a renegade. So we have a lot of renegades in the world today running havoc throughout our nation. And Father, we can't take all the blame, but you know, we can take a big part of the responsibility of bringing our kids up, because, you know, we can raise them to the nourishment and understanding and instructions of the Word of God. And then, as says in Proverbs, when they grow older, even though they may go away from it for a while, but if it's really grounded and rooted in their hearts, the Bible says that they will return to that godly value, that standard in their life. And one of these, like the prodigal son, there's going to be a little bell go off, and it says he'll come to his senses. And then reunite in the fellowship of the Lord. The second thing Father must do is protect. Instinctively, almost all of us have those feelings of wanting to hold our families close to make sure that nothing ever harms them. We want to say to all that is evil and that all is hurtful, you must not come through the door of this house. We want to say that to evil and all of those things. You're not going to enter our home. A father decided to get his little five-year-old girl a bicycle for her birthday. And as she set off to ride that bicycle for the first time, he says to her, "I just have one rule. Do not ride your bicycle on oncoming traffic on the highway." Now, it's not as if the girl would turn to her father and say, "I hate you. Why do you always have to treat me this way? Why do you always have to give me all these rules?" Now, the little girl knows that the father has placed rules in her life so that she can be safe. It is the same way with God. God wants you to live life to the fullest. And he has given us his commandments to do that. And we might, you know, be protected, that we might grow, that we might live in his love. So we must realize that the beauty of what we often label commands or requirements are to be helpful and protect us from wrong choices. And that's one of the things that we tried to teach the kids this week, that come to camp and maybe don't have the discipline that they should, or the spiritual guidance that a lot of kids have that lives in godly families, or come to church or go to church somewhere. That they have a God that loves them, even though they may not have received Him into their heart as their Savior and Lord. But if they remain with the open and tender heart to receive His love and receive the teaching that He wants every child to have, whether it's through their parents or through a church or some way for them to get that spiritual guidance, that they make good choices and right choices that will ensure that they will have a long, productive life. We saw a lot of kids this week that are frustrated and disheartened and looking for answers. Every single night, kids would come down. If they didn't come down for salvation or rededication, would come down for prayer. You know who their prayers were for? Who they were requesting prayers for? Their mom and dad. Their mom and dad. Some would come down and say, you know, my mom and dad are divorced, and she has a boyfriend now. And I said, how's that boyfriend treat you? Not very well. Not very well. A lot of kids said that to me this week. So it tells us that, you know, the kids are being pushed to the wayside, to the side. And the biological parents should take responsibility. If that dad that boyfriend, whoever, is not treating what? You know, out the door. Out the door. We are responsible, and until we take responsibility for our children, then we're growing a nation of deception. You know, fathers must protect their children and make sure that they are being taught the right things. Make sure that their minds are being filled with the wholesome truths. Protect them from all the evil, false doctrine that are out there. A lot of false doctrines out there. Father, we are to provide for them, and we are to protect them. Finally, a father is to pray. We pray because we're not really sure how to answer all their questions, right? Or solve all their problems, or even how to be a father, so we are to pray. We are to pray that God will help us, to give us wisdom, to give us strength, and give us guidance. We are to pray that we be sensitive to what is going on in their lives. We are to pray that we are loving and understanding and authoritative, and all the things that a father has to be when we don't want to be, but we should be, and we have to be. Because without God's help, I don't see any way that we can be the kind of fathers that we need to be. Have you ever heard of Brooks Adams? He was a father of the ambassador to Great Britain under Abraham Lincoln. And Brooks recalled the best day of his life was when he was growing up and his dad, ambassador of Great Britain, Ambassador Adams, took Brooke fishing. He took him fishing, and he'd been promising for a long time, I'll take you, son, I'll take you fishing. And he took him fishing, and after that day was over, he was telling all of his friends and everybody that he met, he said, this was the best day of my life because my dad took me fishing. He spent some time away from being ambassador of Great Britain. He took me fishing. A writer, editor, in later years, after Ambassador Adams passed away, Ambassador of Great Britain, was reading his journal. And on this particular day that he had written in his journal, he said, I took my son fishing, and it was a wasted day. Can you imagine a father saying something like that, writing that in a journal. I can't imagine that. And I wonder how many wasted days have come and gone that we memorial days in lives of our children, and we never knew it. Memorable days that we had, and then we never shared it with them. I wonder how many things that we were doing, or places we were going to do, or whatever we was going to do, but never got around to doing it. That might have been a chance in a lifetime to mold an everlasting relationship or friendship with one another. If I could do it all over again, I would thank God even more for those years with my own children, for those like sticky notes or sticky faces. Our daughter Kim, on a weekly basis, would write notes and stick them in my coat pockets, apologizing to me or saying I'm sorry for something. I don't even remember half their stuff why she would have wrote saying I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, but maybe she had a guilty reason for doing it. But I thought they were so cute, and I still have them today. They're stuck in some of my Bibles, my early Bibles and so forth. But, you know, the constant questions, toys on the floor, too much noise, not enough privacy for the words, Daddy, I love you. Would you like to go back and hear those words again? I would thank God for all of that and much, much more. So, it is a big responsibility, isn't it, Dad, fathers, parents, all of us here who know that for our children, for a greater nation, for a greater world, it all starts, you know, with parents and going to the Father, you know. You know, we have an awesome responsibility. A lot of challenges, a lot of things get to distract us from really what's really, really important. And I love going to camp. It is hard. It is rigorous. I think it's worse than boot camp, you know, in a lot of ways. Especially when you get older. But, you know, it's worth it. We was all talking in our meetings that it's all worth it when you see the kids walk right down that aisle and they say, I want Jesus in my heart. That's breathtaking. And you meet them right there at the altar. You know, all of us have needs and responsibilities. We have a lot of things going on in our lives. But most of all, everyone needs Jesus. And I just pray whatever God is leading you this morning to do, to be a better father, a more sensitive, understanding, more time, whatever it might be, God lay that on your heart. And that's why I instructed the kids. Whatever God is telling you, don't do what, you know, everybody expects you to do, but be sensitive to God, because God is going to lead you in the right direction, and hopefully godly parents, God is going to lead them in the right directions to make good decisions as well for children. Because some of them are not old enough to do that, and that's our responsibility. So whatever God is leading you to do today, I just pray that you'll follow His leadership, His guidance, and say yes to Him. Whatever He's calling you to do this morning, let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the messages that we receive. Help us to interpret with Your wisdom the decisions that we need to make here this morning. And not only here, but each day as we start a new day. Before our feet touch the floor, our bed becomes our altar. And Lord, we pray for full surrender each day leading of your Holy Spirit, surrendering to your Spirit, that you live your life through us. Lord, that's my prayer. And I pray that each one of us will search our hearts and, Lord, say, Lord, what it is, what do I need to do to change? What is it in my life that needs a revision? What is it in my life that I can be better parent, a father, a mother, or a guardian, whatever it might be, to lead some child to you or to lead someone else to you? Lord, we just thank you for your invitation. It's always open, and you receive us just as we are. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 440.